Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is my good friend Ruth Sukup. Ruth is the founder and CEO of Ruth Sukup Omni Media and the New York Times bestselling author of six books. That's right, six books, including her most recent book, Do It Scared, which I have here. I think I have like 3 to 5 copies in my house. I've got my Do It Scared mug, which I, in my coffee mug, I've got two of them, which I usually have during my podcast interviews. I totally forgot to today. You may have heard about her through Elite Blog Academy. So she's got over 11,000 students that have went through Elite Blog Academy. So helping them get started or to grow their blog. She's also got the Do It Scared podcast and her Living Well Planner. And I think that's close to 90,000 copies of that has been sold. So a ton of people using the Living Well Planner. And you may also remember her from episode 8 of the SBS podcast. So on that episode, we talked a whole lot about Living Well, Spending Less. So she's got the book, she's got livingwellspendingless.com. That's a massive site, and also the planner. And so we kind of talked about all things that. That is not what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about traditional publishing versus self-publishing. Which one should you pick? Kind of which works for who? All that good stuff, as well as how she sold about 500,000 copies of her book, How to Blog for Profit, and use that to grow her business. So if you're someone who's interested in free plus shipping funnel stuff, using a book to grow a course, all that, that'll be the back half. But the first half, we're going to talk traditional publishing versus self-publishing. So Ruth, super excited to have you here.
Yay, I'm so excited to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I want to dive straight into it. And so if a lot of people listening or watching are probably thinking, traditional publishing, self-publishing, what's the difference? Which one should I choose? You're obviously someone who's done both multiple times.
I have. And you know what, Chandler? I am so passionate about this topic. I actually had a friend, sort of an acquaintance, like, you know how you have those business sort of friends, but they're mm-hmm. They're not close friends. You don't talk all the time. You just, if you need something or have a question or something, you might reach out to them. So I got one of those questions the other day was, I'm thinking of publishing with your publisher. What was your experience? And I just completely gave him way too much information. And he's like, wow, you're really passionate about this topic. I'm like, yes, I am. So let's dive into it. Yes. Traditional versus I've done both.
So I think your first book was self-published, How to Blog for Profit.
Yes. So they kind of overlapped a little bit, actually. So I decided that I wanted to write a book and had no idea how to do that, like many people. And so I had a friend who had written a book recently, and she said, well, if you want to write a book, then you have to get an agent and you have to go to a writing conference. And here's the writing conference that I went to, and here's the name of my agent. She'll be there and you should talk to her. And so go to this. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to this writing conference. Now at the time I already had my blog, Living Well, Spending Less, the one we talked about last time. So I already started to build a platform at that point. I think I had been blogging for a couple of years, so I had gotten some pretty good traffic at that point and was kind of up on the up and up with Living Well, Spending Less. So I definitely had something that would be attractive to an agent, which I think is really key to understand that. If you're thinking about publishing, if you're thinking about traditional publishing versus self-publishing, if you want to do any traditional publishing, you have to have some sort of a platform or nobody will talk to you. They just won't. Yes. Unless you have something amazing. And even then they probably won't talk to you. Like that you come with the numbers first. That's the first thing they're going to ask you about. That's the first thing they want to know. So
and when you just pause right there, when you say the numbers, what do you mean?
So the numbers, like your traffic numbers, your either your social media, and the really funny thing is that they don't even understand the numbers. So any numbers that you give them that seem impressive, they'll probably be impressed with them. They're impressed by vanity metrics that we all know as entrepreneurs don't actually mean anything. So number of page views, number of Facebook followers, number of Twitter followers become bearing numbers, right?
It's really what they're trying to work their way back to from your numbers, whether they're vanity numbers or not, is how many books are you going to sell? It's like a little bit of the equation of what are the odds that you sell more than X copies of books that will make this
because fun work. Fact about traditional publishers, they don't actually do a very good job of selling books. So they are relying on their authors to sell most of their books. So if you think that traditional publishing is going to be the way that you sell lots of books and become a bestseller, that's actually not true. They're relying on you and your platform. So that's why they ask. So even if you go, I spent all this money and it was expensive to go to this writing conference. And, you know, I wasn't making, I don't think I was making like a full-time living from my blog at that point. I had an audience, but I wasn't monetizing it yet, or not monetizing well, let's say, because I didn't have any products. And so I went to this conference, talked to this agent. She said, yes, I'd like to work with you, which was great. And so the next step was then I had to come up with a proposal, write a book proposal. So then I paid this other person who had met at the conference, this author, to help me do my book proposal. So that was thousands more dollars that I paid for this book proposal. And she was another client of my agent. So it was recommended by my agent. And so we do all this work of creating this book proposal. And then while I was waiting, so once the book proposal was done, then you have to pitch it, or the agent has to pitch it. So there's several months of waiting for the agent to present it to publishers and, you know, da 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 da, back and forth. So after I finished my proposal, I had all this nervous energy and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. Is my proposal going to get accepted? Like, you know, you just like don't know what's going on. So I then, at the same time, right within that same period, was also my blog kind of exploded to the point where all of a sudden I was finally making enough money from my blog and from my online business that my husband was able to quit his job to become the stay-at-home dad. This was early 2013. And so my husband quit his job and came home, and this was a really big deal. And so all of a sudden I had all these friends who were asking me, how did you do this? How are you making enough money that your husband can quit his job? Because at that point I did not talk about blogging, the business side of blogging. Right. I didn't talk about anything that I was doing behind the scenes. It was just all living well, studying less. And so I thought, well, I have all this nervous energy and I have people that keep asking me this question about how I did this. And I have readers who are wanting to know how I started my blog and how they can do it too. So I ended up writing this book very quickly, probably in the same amount of time that it took me to do my entire book proposal. I wrote How to Blog for Profit Without Selling Your Soul. So that became then my first self-published book. So then I decided to self-publish it. I went through Amazon. First, it was just for Kindle. And then I eventually did like a second edition and made it also a paperback. But when it went on Amazon the first time, it went to number 2 on Amazon the day that it launched. On all of Amazon. Number 2. Is that not crazy? So here I was just doing this thing that I was like, I know people are asking about it, but I'll just write it down and put it out there. And then I don't have to answer any more questions about it. And so it was almost like an accidental success. Mm-hmm. And that ended up opening so many doors.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that, because that's exactly how I started self-publishing school. And that's exactly how a lot of our authors get the idea for their book. It's like when people what's the thing that people keep asking you about? I always say it's like you can only get smacked in the face so many times before you turn around and look. And then when you turn around and look, there's this whole group of people standing there waiting on you to teach them that thing. And they've been asking for a long time. So it's so cool that kind of was the impetus for this book. So you self-published the book. It goes number 2 on Amazon. It's selling well. And then it sounds like in tandem, you got a book deal and then published that book. You want to kind of compare and contrast the experience and also the
results? So this was, so it's kind of all happening overlapping. So that summer of 2013 was, I wrote this book, but then my other book is being pitched. So I get my offer from my publisher and, you know, sign this contract, and then my How to Blog for Profit comes out. Well, I did the first edition of How to Blog for Profit and then ended up rewriting it and doing the second edition of How to Blog for Profit before my traditional book even came out. So traditional publishing is so long. I had already sold like thousands and thousands and thousands of copies of How to Blog for Profit before, even though I started Living Well, Spending Less in that process way earlier, it didn't actually end up coming out until December of 2014 was when that book came out. So it's almost a 2-year process from, you know, first getting an agent to actually having a published book with a traditional publisher is very long and very sucky. So sucky. It was not
fun.
Why?
Like what was not fun, or on the traditional publishing side, what wasn't fun, or what was the most difficult part?
So I think the thing that was hardest was having to fit within parameters that someone else is setting for you. And as the first time author, publishers treat you as, because it doesn't matter if your business is successful. It didn't matter that my blog was doing really well and I had this self-published book. To them, all of that was nothing. I was zero. I was starting at zero. And so it's, from an ego standpoint, it's hard to be treated like you're a nothing. And I was completely a nothing to them. I was an unproven author. I had sold zero books for them. They treated me like I was pretty much a no one. And I was to them. And so that was frustrating. It was just hard to have conversations. You know, by then I was starting to get really good at marketing, and it was hard to have conversations about marketing because they, again, you don't know what you're doing. Just trust us. We know books. We know books. They'd say that to me all the time. We know books. I'm like, yeah, but I know my audience. No, we know books. And so because it was my first time, and because they kept telling me, you don't know what you're doing, I started to believe that too. So I think that part of it was a hard experience, and just not really knowing exactly how to navigate it, and not trusting my gut and not trusting my own instinct. Whereas I think for my own book, it didn't feel like there was really anything riding on it. And so I wasn't putting as much pressure on myself. Right. And so it was, the whole experience was just completely different. It was fun. Yeah. And it was, I can just put it out there and see what happens. And I don't, you know, so it just, it was a completely different thing.
And it's funny how the difference kind of psychologically, when there's low expectations and you do it quickly and then you smash those expectations and then you keep making the book better, versus years of buildup, huge expectations.
Yes.
You're so worried that this thing's going to flop. And just, even if it is successful, it almost feels kind of like, oh man, I don't know. Was this successful? But it wasn't as successful as that person that was traditionally published.
Yes.
Like kind of this, I had a similar experience. The longer the build up to the launch, usually the bigger the letdown.
That is 100% true. And so now I've done three traditionally published books, and they have, it's gotten worse and worse. I have to say the experience, like with the first book was not great. My deal was a 2-book deal. And so I was obligated to do the second book. And then my experience with the second book was just kind of the same thing. Like it was not a great experience. They did treat me a little better because my first book sold really well. It made the New York Times list. So then all of a sudden I was a somebody. So then they actually started treating me a little bit better, but by then I was also, you know, my business was way more successful, and I was also a very good marketer at that point. And it's just frustrating to feel like your hands are constantly being tied. They would not talk to me about marketing budget. There's just always so many things. No, we don't talk about that with authors. No, we need to do it this way. No, we need to do it this way. And that, it was like having a boss. Having a publisher is like having a boss. And I started my own business because I don't like having a boss. I don't want somebody else telling me what to do. So from that standpoint, after my second book, after my second traditionally published book, I was like, I'm never doing another traditionally published book ever again. Well, never say never, because then I did. Then I had this idea for Do It Scared. And I was like, I want to do this big study. I had this big vision for Do It Scared and the Do It Scared brand. And I really wanted to do like a hardcover book with a big launch. And so I decided to do a traditionally published book again.
And why? I want to zoom in on that. So you signed a 2-book deal. So, I mean, obviously you're on the hook for 2 traditionally published books.
So I was done.
No matter what. You've got
How to Blog for Profit. Years. Yep.
Did you have any other self-published books in that timeline?
Yes. I had 2 more self-published books. One is called 31 Days to a Clutter-Free Life. And one was called 31 Days of Living Well and Spending Zero. So those were both books for the Living Well, Spending Less audience. And those sold like crazy. They still make. All three of my self-published books make tons of money. I mean, it's just great. I've made way more off of my self-published books than I have off my traditionally published books. Because I get royalties from Amazon every month, and I don't promote any of those books ever. They just sell on their own and I get royalty checks. Now revenue wise in relation to all the other things I'm doing in my business, it's not huge, but it's probably a couple $1,000 a month. So for a lot of people, like it's literally free money. I'm doing nothing for this couple $1,000 a month that I get a check for every month. So I want to go to Do It Scared in just a second. Yeah.
Were those 2 self-published books outselling your first 2 traditionally published books at that time, or less, more, same?
I don't know exact numbers. I would say probably not. Although like Living Well, Spending Less did sell a lot of copies. It sold, I think, because I remember my publisher did a big press release that it sold over 100,000 copies in the first year, which I think they said only about 5 books a year actually do that. So that was a really big deal. It was a really big seller. So I don't think my other 2 have sold that many, but it's been,
but now they profit more.
But now they profit more. Yeah. The amount of money I get out of it is more. I mean, and what this is the thing with traditionally publishing. I mean, it's really about your advance, because 95, maybe 97% of books never make back their advance. And I had a pretty decent advance for that book. But I did make back my advance, but I mean, I don't get massive royalty checks every month from my traditional publisher like I do from Amazon. So long-term, for long-term, those self-published books have made a lot more.
And so you probably get a check maybe once a quarter from your traditional publisher for those books or something like that.
Yeah. Once a quarter.
And probably 30 to 90 days in arrears from the previous quarter's book sales.
Yes. And their reports are impossible to read or understand, and they're super confusing. So you would probably wonder why on earth did I do another?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask. So why, all this said,
you got multiple stuff. I don't know.
Why go back?
Trust me. I ask myself that all the time, because I went to my publisher and said, look, I said I would never do this again. And because they were coming to me a lot and saying, we want you to do another book. We want you to do another book. Are you ready to do another book yet? And I was like, I'm not ready. So I finally said, okay, if we're going to do this, then it's going to be on my terms. And I want it to be a good experience. Here's my expectations. Here's what I want to do. I want to have full transparency for marketing dollars. I want to have, and there was a lot of promises that I feel like were not delivered on. So, going back, if I was to go back and do it again, if I could change that decision, I would have 100% just published it myself. And I would never, now at this point in my life, when I say I will never again do a traditionally published book, I mean it. You can take that to the bank. I'm saying it publicly here.
Okay. Well, I've got so many follow-up questions. So there's so many places we can go with this. So, hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right. So if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. I guess that first for a two-parter, why say, all right, I am traditionally publishing this book, and then you just said, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. I would have self-published. Why is that?
Yeah. So the only, because I had this big vision for Do It Scared, in terms of doing this big research study that we did with it. And I wanted to launch this Do It Scared brand and have this kind of be a, you know, a thing that sort of grew into a life of its own. And so I didn't know if I could do that and if I could have that same impact if I did it as a self-published book. And I think in hindsight, because hindsight is always 20/20, that was just insecurity on my part. And because looking back, I realized that everything that happened with Do It Scared, because it's been amazing. The response to Do It Scared has been amazing. I got to do a TED talk about the fear archetypes. Like, there's been so many great things that have come out of it. And I think that all of that could have come out of self-publishing it too. Because the thing is that I think people don't really realize that authors see the difference sometimes between self-published or traditionally published. And one thing that traditionally published can do that it's a much harder thing to do with self-published is to make the lists, the New York Times list or the other ones are.
Yeah.
I think it has happened, but it's very rare that you would with a self-published book, even selling hundreds of thousands of copies, because especially the New York Times is
right.
a proven arbitrary editorial. It's editorial.
Yes.
They just choose. It's not based on sales. So it's all luck anyways. And I think if I would have, I got lucky with Living Well, Spending Less. It made the list. And so now forevermore, it's like being a one-term senator, I can forevermore say I'm a New York Times bestselling author. And that's great. But I did that. I don't need to do it again. But what I've realized too is that nobody cares. Nobody cares that I get to use that term. Because if you say I'm a bestselling author, if I'm an Amazon bestselling author, or if I'm New York Times bestselling author, it all sounds the same to people who aren't authors. For 95% or maybe 99% of the people that you'll ever talk to, they're just as impressed by being an Amazon bestseller as they are, maybe even more, as they are by being a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. And so why put yourself through all of the hassle? It's just not worth it. You make more money, you have more control, you get to do all the things that you want to do. You get to control the content 100%, which is also a really big deal, because a book is never going to make you millions of dollars. It's unless you hit that rare one in a million girl wash your face book that sells millions and millions of copies, and then maybe you'll make $1 million off of it.
Yeah.
More likely your publisher will make $1 million off of it in a case like
when
that.
When she self-published. It's just so funny. I just interviewed Dave Hollis, her husband, and she self-published that book and then went back and traditionally published. And so I know Rachel Hollis is a big proponent of self-publishing. Now I want to back up for a second and touch on one thing you said, and then I want to ask about kind of moving forward.
Back up.
Your stance. So the backup is just I love what you said here. So to clarify for people, yes, New York Times list, editorial list, it which means they pick the books that are on there. So it is very hard, if not close to impossible, to hit the New York Times list as a self-published author. Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestseller.
I want to say something about that too. Yep. That so the New York Times, if you don't know this, was actually sued several years ago for their list practices. They were sued by someone who said, hey, I sold this, you know, X many books. I should have been on the list. Why wasn't I on the list? And they were sued because of somebody saying it was not fair. The judge ruled in favor of the New York Times, saying that it is editorial content. It is up to their discretion. They can put whoever they want on there, which basically means that list means nothing. It's just a name.
It's not on peer units. So if you're looking for the closest peer units list, that's the USA Today bestseller list. That's closest to actual, I mean, it's just straight up who sold the most books.
Yes.
And then close second is Wall Street Journal. And so you can hit both of those lists and a decent amount of our authors have as a self-published author, but it is important that you know the difference and you know that you're not chasing the New York Times, because the majority of times you're going to be disappointed, but then also it's just totally subjective. So even our mutual friend, Michael Hyatt, sold way more copies than the number one book. I think this was Living Forward, and they kept him off the list. And he was a he was a CEO of a traditional publisher for you know, 30, or I forget. He was part of that traditional publishing company for like 30 years.
Right.
I think it was Thomas Nelson. So that's the list. Now, you mentioned a phrase, I will never traditionally publish again. Why?
Why? Because I don't want to have a boss. I don't want to have somebody else tell me what to do. I want to have complete editorial control over what's in my book, how I sell it. All I want to have control for the future, for all the royalties. I want to have all the control, and I want to be able to use the book as a marketing tool for my other stuff. And so I think that's the biggest thing for me too, is realizing that's when it, to go back to, your book's not going to make you $1 million. Your book is like a really great business card. Your book is how and the way that you should be using your book is as a marketing tool to market whatever other things you have to sell. Your book is not your moneymaker. It's not your bread and butter. It is it's the way that people find you. It's the way that you build credibility. It's the way that you show the world what you have to offer so that they know you and like you and trust you, the same way that you would do with a blog, the same way it's one more piece of content marketing.
Right.
I mean, there's the start of a conversation. Exactly. And so if you have a publisher who is telling you, oh no, you can't link to this thing, or you can't offer this freebie, or you can't do this thing because that feels, you know, too promotional, or we don't want you sending people to other places that are not our thing, then you lose your control, and you want to say, you want to give your message that you want to present, that you want to give, and you want to keep that your message. Now, I think you can do that in a really good way. And I think you should hire an editor, and you should, all of those things are true too, but do it yourself.
Self-published book shouldn't look self-published.
No, it shouldn't look self-published.
The quality remains the same. Yeah.
Yes.
So, gosh, I got like so many different follow-up questions here. What are some examples of, you know, you said there's certain things you lose creative control, and of ways that you would take someone, and I want to, if we have time, touching this in the back half of this interview, of how you take people from How to Blog for Profit to Elite Blogging Academy, and kind of like what that funnel looks like and all that stuff. But, you know, you mentioned that there are certain things that you can't do when you traditionally publish a book that you can do when you self-publish a book that would be a part of that. So taking someone from reader to paying customer, what are those type of things for people who might not be familiar?
So, well, one of the things that we do with How to Blog for Profit, the newest version, because when I published the last edition of it in 2014, it was, I was actually not doing most of this stuff. I was just writing a book and putting it out there. It was before Elite Blog Academy even existed. But now that we've had Elite Blog Academy for a long time, I rewrote How to Blog for Profit recently. I published the third edition of it. And so we have right there in the front is, you know, you can get our free training right away. We want to send people to our, so not that there's not great information in the book, but we want to use the book as a way of sending people as a lead generator, to send people into our website to sign up for our free training, to be then be on our email list, and to be able to keep that conversation going. So the book is helping to establish that credibility, because the book is really good. I mean, it's really solid information. It's, people love it. It that's why it sold so many copies. I have so many people that read that book and they go, I had to take Elite Blog Academy because I read this book and it was so good and it was so clear and I knew exactly what I needed to do. So I mean, that's one of the best ways that you can promote yourself, right? Is give really good information away. And if people go, if her book is this good, then man, this course must be amazing. And it is. So that's exactly what I want it to do. And that's exactly the impression that I want people to have. But the other thing that we do is include lots of case studies in there, right? So all of my students, I talk about and I tell their success stories. Well, that's great too, because people get excited when they hear stories and they hear about what people can do. So that's another thing that you can do. So I think that it's just, and then one of the other things that you can do with a self-published book more easily, I have seen people do it with traditionally published books, but I think you're going to take a bigger hit on from a financial standpoint, is that we do a free book funnel. now, and you've talked about that too, is that right. So we do
you
a free
do
plus
that with
a
traditional
shipping.
Publisher.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah. I have seen it done, but I think it's expensive for the author to do it that way. Because
you're having to buy back the books at, yes. at your actual prices.
At which your author discount higher. Rate, yeah. which is much okay. higher than I can buy them from Amazon.
So. For sure. Hey, let's circle back on the free plus shipping in just 1 minute. And final question on kind of the traditional publishing versus self-publishing front, what would you say to the person? Because I would imagine there's people listening or watching that are like, okay, Ruth, like you're never traditionally publishing again. That's cool, but you've already done it.
Yeah.
And so that's easy to say now as someone who has traditionally.
Yeah.
Like, do you think if you were going back, would you still do it? Or what would be your recommendation for the people who maybe haven't published at all, either type of book?
That's a good question. And it's a fair question, but I think that you have to ask yourself, what are your motivations for wanting to publish a book? And there's some of them, then some of those motivations do make sense to have a traditional publisher. But if your motivation is because you want somebody to help you with the marketing, that's not a good enough reason to go traditional publishing, because your publisher is going to expect you to do all the marketing. They don't do it for you. And what ends up happening is you're ultimately disappointed because you think they're going to do more than they do. When you know it's all on you from the beginning, I think that's easier. I think then you don't have expectations of someone else and you don't have to be disappointed about it. So that's not a good reason. If your reason for wanting to do a traditionally published book is because you don't know how the logistics of how you would get it done, or how you would do the editing, or how you would do the formatting, there's people you can hire for that will do the whole thing for you. I did that for all three of my self-published books the first time. I just sent them to CreateSpace, and I think it's called something different now, right? Kindle.
Yeah, KDP Kindle. Print.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, KDP Print. But at the time it was called CreateSpace, and I just had them do it, and I just paid for it, you know, $1,000, and it was done.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to worry too much about that side of it. That's not a good reason to go traditionally published. If you want to make the New York Times list, I think that's maybe a better reason, but not an awesome reason, because it's so arbitrary that even if you have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that you're willing to spend in marketing and getting it out there, it's still such a crapshoot that you might as well just do it yourself and at least get to still have all the creative control and have some way of earning your money back on the back end. I don't know. Can you think of a good reason that you would want to traditional publish?
That's what I was just about asking.
I don't think I have.
It sounds
one.
Like there is a 1%. Really, for me, it's if you're a Gary Vaynerchuk's, you know, size, Ruth Sukup size author that has like this massive following, can sell a ton of books. And I think there's really people think that a publisher is a publishing company. They're not so much that it's a distribution company. So it's really it's a one-legged stool, and the advantage that publishers have, kind of like, you know, my brother who plays in Need to Breathe is in the record industry. It's like record labels. It's very similar. They have distribution. So they have radio and into stores. Same way with publishers. They have, you know, agents and into stores. So it's kind of a one-legged stool for distribution. So I think the only time that it makes sense is if you can get a huge advance, which, oh, by the way, you're going to have to spend most of that on the book. And there's a lot of clauses where you will actually have to pay it back if you don't sell certain thresholds, or you'll have to buy back books. So like, definitely read the fine print. But if you can get a massive advance that you don't have to spend all on the actual marketing of the book, or maybe you are, because maybe it's just a huge brand play, which, you know, there's a lot of people that traditionally publish a book in a 2-year pattern, like a Gary Vaynerchuk or someone who, they're not trying to make money off of it. It's a Trojan horse for their business. Either way, I mean, you've spoke to that. That's what makes the most sense, is using a book to bring lead sales and referrals for your business. But then I think the other piece is international distribution and rights. So if you're trying to outside of the US, like really get expanded distribution, I think it can make sense. It's 1% of people that it makes sense for.
And that's not
to know your motives, like you said.
Not necessary either, because like How to Blog for Profit, it has been published in I think 10 or 12 different languages. It's distributed all over the world. I get contacted all the time. So I always just, when somebody from a different country wants to publish it, then I just refer them to my agent and he negotiates that. But
cool.
Yeah. So it's totally possible for self-published as well to have it international. And if you do, I will say there is that like thrill of seeing your book in a bookstore, which can be kind of cool until it goes on clearance. And that's not awesome. You know, when it's on the bargain rack and you're like, oh, that's my book. It's 99 yeah. cents. But you got to remember too, that like 98% of book sales these right. days, it's probably not 98%, but it's like 90% of books are sold through Amazon these days.
Right.
So that's not even a good enough reason, I don't think.
100%. And I've got for everyone listening, watching, I've got a great episode with Pat Flynn where we talk about this exact thing. So how he got his self-published book into bookstores and airport bookstores, which is kind of cool. So, hey, I want to flip the script a little bit and just do a lightning round, because I'm super curious about it and I think people will get a lot out of this as well.
All right.
And so it's a lightning round all about how to blog for profit and how you've used that to grow Elite Blogging Academy. So I think one of the biggest questions that, a lot of people have is, they're thinking, I want to do this online course and I want to do this book. And either they've got one or they've got neither, but it almost kind of becomes this chicken or the egg kind of conundrum. So what was your experience? I mean, you're someone who did the book first and then the course came after. What did that Yep. experience look like? And then how has the book helped drive sales for Elite Blogging Academy?
Oh my gosh, it's helped so much. I don't think Elite Blog Academy would be what it is today without How to Blog for Profit. I think that is even before I got more savvy about making sure that How to Blog for Profit was driving people directly to Elite Blog Academy. Even without that, it was what put me on the map as a blogging authority and also just gave me the credibility because it's good. So that's rule number one, is give away good content. Don't be afraid that you can't put something in a book because you're giving it away in your book and then you can't use it other places. First of all, that's just not true. We all need to hear information so many different times in so many different ways and formats before it actually sinks in, that if you put it in your book and it's also included in your course, you're going to be fine. And so when I created Elite Blog Academy the first time, after having written How to Blog for Profit, the course was actually structured pretty much in the same exact way that the book was structured. And so it took, what happened is, because I was doing the course, this first, especially with the first launch of Elite Blog Academy, I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never launched a course before. And I put it out there. And then you have people, real live people, who are asking you all these questions.
Yes.
And so what I realized is, oh my gosh, there's so much more information I need to give than what's in the book. So I started creating all these bonuses and different things. And anytime people were asking me, I was just doing it on the fly. That's what a beta launch is. And that's how a beta launch should be. It's anytime you're launching something the first time, there's so much you've forgotten. Even if you think you put it all in your book, people are going to ask you for that. So I wouldn't even worry about that. You just, the people ask for it and you give it to them and you make it better. So then what happened was, we ended up redoing the course. I think we're on EBA 4.0 now. But we did 2.0, which was sort of brought it all together. And then 3.0 was, as more people took the course and we got more feedback and things changed, we'd have to revamp it and revise it. So now we're to the point where it's 4.0. We've had 12,000 students, and it just gets better and better all the time.
Yeah, that's great. And I love it. It's get it down, then get it right.
Yes.
Get feedback and iterate. And it's funny, like literally at the time of recording this, this interview, we do betas still for every product that we launch. And so we're at the end of our, we have PR and speaking for authors. So how to get, publicity, speaking gigs, PR, stuff like that. But just this morning, I was looking at the wireframe of the curriculum that had been all improved because I think we had 27 people go through and just stress test it to improve it. So I always say, when people are like, hey, which one do I do first, like the course or the book? I think there's no definitive answer. I just say, this is what worked for me, which was the book first, then the course. Obviously that what worked
it does work. But I will say that I think How to Blog for Profit, now that I've done the course, is so much better. Being able to go back now and rewrite it. And I rewrote this newest version significantly, and it needed to, it was, 6 years since the last one. So it needed, it's a fast changing industry. So it needed a lot of updates and a lot of changes to it. But I think I would probably tell people do a beta launch first before you write the book, and then use your case studies in as that from the people that are taking your course to talk about in the book and the examples that you're using in the book. And I think that that can work really well. But again, you can do both. You could do either or. It's chicken and the egg. They both, they're both going to need to be improved. And that's another benefit of self-publishing versus traditionally publishing. Once you traditionally publish a book, it takes so long, then you don't get to edit it. You don't get to change it. Yeah. And you have no control over it. I look now at my books that were published 6 years ago and go, man, I wish I could get the rights back to those so that I could go and edit and change things. And you can't do it. I don't have the control over it.
How many books would you say you've sold through your free plus shipping funnel for How to Blog for Profit?
Oh, so we've only been doing that since, when did we start? December 26th of 2019. So at the time of this recording, that's been about just over 3 months.
Okay.
And I think we have sold, I want to say 10,000.
Okay. And what sort of, man, there's a couple of different questions here.
Between seven and 10,000, probably. I don't know.
How much revenue would you say would you attribute? I know this is like kind of rough and ballpark.
Yep.
Rough ballpark of how much revenue has come for Elite Blog Academy from this book. So that's the first question. And the second question, from this free plus shipping funnel.
That's a good question. I don't know if I have the exact numbers on that, the exact breakdown of where we're at, but I will say that for this free book funnel, the way that we did it this year, and it because part of our email sequencing within the funnel was offering lower price products along the way. So it did, we had a order bump for the audio version, which did really well. And then we had a order bump for a digital product that was like a $19 digital product that did really well. So it was profitable right away, instantly. So which was, really cool. So we started our lead gen for, we launch Elite Blog Academy once a year. We do our launch the first week in March every single year. And we start our lead gen, or started building up our hot list, as we call it, for in advance of the launch. Is this getting too technical?
No,
this is okay. Okay. Yeah. So we started our lead gen on December 26th. As soon as Christmas was done, we were like ready to go. And this year, we did all of our lead gen at a profit. So instead of saying, okay, we've got a budget, you know, we were expecting to do a $2 million launch, we've got a budget of $250,000 for ads that we're just willing to spend for this time. We didn't want to do that. We didn't want to go into the launch having at a deficit. We wanted to go into the launch having already made our money back from the ad spend that we were putting out there. And so the free book funnel was part of that. And then we had two other smaller price digital products. So it was all part of a smaller funnel. Mm. So that leading into Elite Blog Academy, we had given, because what we also find is that with a bigger program like Elite Blog Academy, which is $1,000 for the base level, and then there's a couple of different tiers of it, that people need a little bit of time to get to know you and like you and trust you. It's a big ask, right? Somebody that's just hearing about you for the first time is going to be a little reluctant to just hand over $1,000. So we went into EBA this time wanting to have complete profit going into it, where we were like, no matter what we sell, we're going to be good. And we actually ended up doing, I think we did, I want to say 1.8 million in sales for our launch this year, but it was our most profitable launch ever. So almost pure profit. I think it was like 1.525 in profit.
Get out of here.
Out of wow, 1.5. Wow.
And the major shift in strategy was the break-even lead costs and leading with the free plus shipping funnel.
Yes. And doing more of lead gen ourselves and focusing on less on affiliates, but that's really neither here nor there for what we're talking about.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. And I would love to just dive into the full free plus shipping funnel. Obviously we're running right at time here. So what I would say, and this is what I recommend, is, you know, I had Russell Brunson on here. We're talking about his free plus shipping funnel. It's like, go get the book and look at it. and so what I would really encourage for everyone here is go to, if you're thinking about doing a free plus shipping funnel, We've got other talks on that. I think we've got one with Onyx and Gall. There's one or two with Russell Brunson. Like there's, we cover that elsewhere, but if you're in a similar model and you want to, I do this all the time. If you want to see Ruth's free plus shipping funnel, go buy the book and yeah, go through the funnel and see, oh, there's the audiobook upsell. There's different stuff like that. Do you have a quick link that they can go to for
Yeah, it's eliteblogacademy.com/book. So it's okay. Easy. But I do that too. Whenever I see Facebook ads, I always click on them and then always purchase whatever it is. Cause I'm like, I want to see what this funnel looks like.
Oh yeah. Well, sometimes I'll click and then not purchase just to see how they retarget me.
Oh yeah.
Like go to the, and or like it and see what, so I see more of those ads. Yeah. 100%. Hey, yeah, I got a couple of final questions I think will be helpful for people here. So, you know, knocking on the door of 500,000 copies of this book sold. What's moved the most copies?
All of our funnel stuff, I would say. So before we did the free plus shipping funnel, we did it as a digital book and had a funnel that we ran for many years that way for lead gen for EBA. So that has moved a lot of copies, but then also on Amazon, it just does well on Amazon. I got lots of reviews. It did really well from the get-go, putting it out there. It was one of those things where if you write something that people are asking for and then put it out there, it starts to get this momentum, and that has definitely helped it continue to sell on Amazon, and to the point where I wasn't promoting it because it was so out of date that I actually didn't want people buying it, but we still had so many people buying it all the time that I was like, I've got to rewrite this book, right, and make sure that it's up to date, because I feel like it was almost reflecting badly on me at a point because it was getting to be so out of date.
When you're still doing really so well though. Well, that you feel bad. The ultimate first world problem. But that, I totally feel where you're coming from. I think we'll probably update my recent book published for exactly that same reason. Because you're like, man, we've got all these funnels now. We've got different calls to action. We didn't even have a sales team when this book was written. So why not just have a, hey, when I get your book done, click here to book a call with the team.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, go to self-publishingschool.com/apply or whatever. But embedding all these new things, the new methodologies, everything makes for a better reader experience. And then ultimately more customers, you know, people who read it and say, hey, I want to do more business with you. So, oh man, we could go all day on free plus shipping funnels, like on using a book to sell courses. It sounds like, I mean, the big takeaway from this portion of the conversation for me is using it as the entry point for almost everything that you do to warm up leads and increase conversions. And
honestly,
not quite sure how much from a revenue perspective. My guess would be what, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in course sales?
Oh, millions of dollars in course sales. Yeah. Wow. Millions of dollars. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, millions. And I think that would be the takeaway that I would want people to take out of it, is that don't get so involved in the vanity aspects of writing a book that you forget what your ultimate goals are. So if your ultimate goal is just to be a traditionally published author so that you can put that notch in your belt, then go do that. But if your ultimate goal is to have a business that is profitable, that's making money, be smart about it and realize from the get-go that your book is not your business, that being an author is not the end goal. It's a great thing to say, and it's impressive for people, but ultimately that's not the thing that's going to make you the most money. So think of your book as your marketing tool for your business. I have to tell my bloggers that all the time too. Your blog is not your business. Your blog is a marketing tool for your business, and a book is the same exact thing.
Awesome. Hey, I mean, I'm tempted to stop right there, and I've got one, you know, kind of one final question, two final questions. But one final question, main question is, what would be your advice to the Ruth from, you know, all the other Ruths that are listening to this, that are, you know, thinking about writing and publishing their first book, knowing what you know now, six books in,
I would say, don't overthink it and don't think that somebody else can do it better than you can. I think that if I could go back and tell 2013 Ruth anything, it would be to trust your gut and just go do it, put it out there. It's not going to be perfect. Make some mistakes with it, but learn from those mistakes and keep going, because ultimately you will be the one to benefit from all of those things instead of someone else, instead of your publisher, and your publisher is not going to do it for you. So trust your gut.
Awesome. Love that. Now, Ruth, where can people go to grab How to Blog for Profit, to grab a copy of Do It Scared, and find out more about what you're up to?
All the things. Yes. I have many websites. luckily, they're all connected. So if you go to one, you can usually find all of them. So if you want the How to Blog for Profit book, go to eliteblogacademy.com/book. Otherwise, if you want to learn more about Do It Scared or the podcast, go to doitscared.com. Or ruthsukup.com is fine too.
Amazing. Well, Ruth, thank you so much. I know you're speaking at Author Advantage Live this year. So if people want to come see Ruth at the event, we'd love to have you there. We'll be in Orlando. So, you know, kind of your backyard, not totally, but in the fall. So in September, depending on kind of when you're hearing this episode or seeing this episode. So I'm super excited to have you at the event at Author Advantage Live this year. It's going to be awesome. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people with Do It Scared books and maybe even Blog for Profit books. And I know we have so much overlap with our communities, and
we do.
And your people are awesome. So go to authoradvantagelive.com if you're interested in seeing Ruth live at Author Advantage Live this year. And Ruth, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Chandler. Always fun.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you'd be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.